Well, I want to talk today about being sons and daughters of the Father. Being sons and daughters of our Abba Father God. This morning, Bob shared a prophetic passage about the Father and Abraham as the father of many nations. Mom shared a beautiful Lord's table about having healing in our relationships. And sometimes we've had words spoken over us, perhaps even by our parents, that have been hard at times for us to overcome. And we need to have healing in our relationships. The issue of being a son, the issue of being a daughter of a father, is a very important issue in life. It's an issue that affects many, many people. You can see it in movies. There are some movies that I will watch, and you can watch over and over, and at a certain point in time, Sylvia will look at me and there will be tears streaming down my face. One such movie is a movie called October Sky. Has anyone here seen the movie October Sky? Well, in this movie, I had to ask Sylvia the name this morning of the main character. He's actually a real person. It's biographical. There's a boy named Homer. And Homer is not the typical boy in this town. It's a mining town where really the mines drive the economy of the town. But Homer doesn't really like the mines. His dad happens to be the head of the mines. He's the one that keeps everybody working, and he kind of runs the town unofficially in a positive way, but he has to keep the mines going, keep the men working, and so forth. But Homer doesn't like the mines. He gains a vision for making a rocket through an inspirational teacher. And from his father's standpoint, he's involved in all these kinds of shenanigans, doing who knows what and getting into trouble and so forth and not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And that is his ultimate destiny, to be working in the mines. But he wins a science contest, and in the process of the movie, the plot of the movie, he finally wins his dad's approval. And it is a true story, and he ended up becoming a NASA engineer. But the issue of sons and daughters with their fathers is a very important relationship. It's something that if it's not resolved in our lives, in our relationship with our father, it may continue on in our relationships with our own children. And obviously a major area that helps us to come to terms with these issues in our lives, the issues with our fathers, is learning to understand who our Father God is, our Heavenly Father. Our Lord Himself, of course, called God Father. In the Lord's Prayer, He said, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Many times in Scripture, He'd refer to Father. In 1 John 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." In my own life, as I struggled to really come to that place where I was confident that I was saved, that I have salvation, really it related to the fact that I couldn't relate to God as Father, because I was struggling to see whether I was saved. And that verse continues on. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And so I was always wrestling with this sense of, am I going to go to heaven or am I going to go to hell? Because as a child of God, I would go to heaven. But since I was doubting my salvation, I was constantly dealing with this fear of being punished and having that ultimate punishment in hell. And so I couldn't come to that place of being able to understand God as Father until that issue was dealt with in my life. How do we know our Father's perfect love? The Bible says perfect love drives out fear. How do we know this love that drives away fear in our life? The question is, are you motivated by, what are you motivated by in your life? Are you motivated by fear to succeed, to achieve even in your work life and so forth? Or are you motivated by love? And God wants us to become more and more motivated by love. So let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. We've been working our way through Galatians. And it just so happens that this is the next area that we're looking at, starting at Galatians 3, verse 26. It says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." All of us. We are all accepted into full relationship with Christ. Full sonhood, full daughterhood. If you have come to Christ in repentance and faith, and receive Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, all of us are accepted. That's one of the things I pray for my wife daily. I pray that she would know my acceptance. That she would know that I accept her just the way she is. Feeling accepted is a very important quality in life. And here it says that we are all accepted. We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We all have that full relationship with Christ. Either you're in Christ or you're not in Christ. Either you've come to Christ through repentance and faith or you haven't. Once we've come to Christ, we are all accepted into full relationship with Christ. Full sons, full daughters in Christ. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. When we are baptized into Christ, it means that we have identified with Christ. That we have clothed ourselves with Christ. At chapel on Friday morning, Pastor Hamilton from one of the churches from which students come to the school, he shared about what makes you distinctive as a Christian. What distinguishes you as a Christian? What I would add to this is there's a book that says, you know, evidence that demands a verdict. Is there enough evidence that would convict you as a Christian? And he emphasized on what distinguishes us as a Christian is the Bible says to clothe yourselves with humility. And God gives grace to the humble. We identify with Christ. We identify with Christ and who He is and His character. And obviously a very distinguishing characteristic of Christ is His humility. And He is an example. When John the Baptist tried to contest Him and said, you know, I'm going to baptize you. Jesus said, this must be done for all righteousness. Jesus was our example. He was humble. He was baptized. He, of course, went to the cross for us. And we identify with Christ. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ. There is one Holy Spirit abiding in all of us. Verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to this promise. If we belong to Christ, this is the relationship. We are all sons and daughters. We all have this great inheritance in Christ. This is the relationship. All other distinguishing factors, whether slave or free, whether we're a blue-collar worker or a white-collar worker, whether we're male or female, whatever nationality we are from, the distinguishing characteristic is that we are sons and daughters of the Father. That is the relationship. And as seen earlier in the chapter, all promises that were to Abraham were to Abraham and to his seed. And it's very important that we recognize that they were to his seed singular. And that seed refers to Christ. And so when we embrace Christ, when we identify with Christ, when we come to Christ and come into Christ and receive salvation in Christ, all of the promises to Abraham are also the promises to us. Because we have the seed of Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. That time set by his father. There was a ceremony that took place that brought about when the child was coming to full sonhood with full rights as a son in the family, or a daughter was coming into full daughterhood with full rights as a daughter in the family. But my question to you is this: what is the difference between a slave and a son? What is the difference between a slave and a daughter? Look at verse 3. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. Going back to Galatians 3:23, which we talked about last time, it says, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. We are no longer locked up by sin and law. We are no longer having to operate under the law of sin and death. Now we walk by grace through faith. Verse 4, Galatians 4:4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. We've been given the full rights of sons. The word here is a word that's my dad probably knows how to pronounce it better than I do, but huasthesia. Huasthesia? All right, close enough. All right, huasthesia. And it refers to adoption. Now, I don't know your view of adoption, but the view here is very, very positive. The question is, what is it like to be an orphan? What is it like to be without parents? What is it like to wander streets and have really no home to go to and to fend for yourself as a child? There are orphans in our world today. And then what is it like to be truly adopted? Truly adopted into a family. Not per se to be a foster child, but truly to be adopted into a family with loving parents where you gain the full rights of being a son or a daughter, a full son, a full daughter, just like any other child in the family. The issue here is one of indebtedness. You think of when perhaps you've been in debt. What does that do to you? There's a constricting that can go on. There's a lack of freedom. You're not as free as you want to be. It can shackle. It can be overwhelming. What am I going to do with this debt? Well, with adoption, the sense here is that all former debts and all former obligations have been canceled. They've been declared null and void. Everything that has been holding us back, everything that would hold us back, you know, you think, okay, you can't get the loan to start a business, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. You can't get the loan to buy a house. Well, everything holding us back, everything that would keep us from walking into the destiny that Christ has for us and the reason why we were created, all of that has been canceled. It's declared null and void. And so with adoption, we are no longer in slavery. We are now free to be who we were created to be. We have freedom. We have the full rights as sons and daughters of the Father. Jesus said in John 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And so we become friends. We become sons. We become daughters. We're no longer enslaved. We're no longer slaves. He shares his heart with us, his motivation with us. We're no longer just a hired hand. He comes along with us and shares his heart with us and helps us to know what his intention is, what his motivation is. In Romans 8:15, It says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." We're redeemed from slavery. We're redeemed from being under the law. We've been bought and we've been taken from slavery to sin and law. And now we're guided in the new way. We're guided in the new way of the Spirit by grace. The Spirit of sonship in us leads us and guides us. And so we are internally motivated now by grace. We're no longer a slave. We're no longer an orphan without loving parents. We are now adopted. Adopted with full rights of sons with our most loving Heavenly Father. The issue of our relationship with our Father is a very, very important relationship. Perhaps some of our fathers have passed away. I just read a book. My dad gave me a baseball book to read. Over spring break, it was entertaining reading. And it was a fictional account, but it had kind of like historical fiction because it was in the same setting of when things were happening in the early 70s regarding baseball. And it was about this baseball player who kind of had a win-at-all-cost philosophy. And, he was making it, but he was a middle-of-the-road pitcher. I mean, he's a professional pitcher. And there was this other player that was coming up, and he was going to be the next, Willie Mays or something, just a great ball player. And he started out in the big leagues just on a tear. And this pitcher, and the story is about the son of the pitcher. It's kind of a middle-of-the-road big league pitcher. And the son is really into this other player, this Willie Mays type player that's coming up and just taking the league by storm. But then his dad hits this up-and-coming player in the head with the ball and kind of brushing him back. And this up-and-coming player never really made it back, never achieved his earlier form. And toward the end, there's a redemptive thing that takes place as the son facilitates a meeting between his dad and this ball player that his dad had hit in the head. And it's very, very touching story. But this is a issue that we deal with. Our relationships with our own father and how it can affect the other relationships in our lives as well. God can redeem that relationship. God can do in our hearts perhaps what our own parents could not do. Amen. Maybe it was your mother that had more of an influence. But if there's been words that have been spoken over you or just attitudes of life and so forth, God as the Heavenly Father can redeem that and can heal you. We spoke words of healing, the healing of our soul, the healing of our inner being. God can heal you through that relationship with our Heavenly Father. Look at verse 6. "Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father." He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. We have received a gift. It's the Spirit of His Son. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a new guardian. Instead of having the old guardian of the law of sin and death, we have a new guardian. We have a new deposit guarding our inheritance. Because as sons and daughters of the Father, we have full rights. We have a great inheritance. Ephesians 1:13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." We have a new guardian, and that is the Holy Spirit. The old guardian was the law of sin and death. The law kind of keeps things in check. The law, we need the law. The law keeps society in check. The law keeps us in check until we come to this new, really, guarantee. Don't even really want to use the word guardian, but the new guarantee of the Holy Spirit of life. Until we came to Christ, until we weren't internally motivated by grace through faith to please Him, we had to have the law of sin and death. But now we have a new guardian, we have a new guarantee, we have a new guide, we have a new leader, we have someone new watching over us, really within us, the Holy Spirit of life. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 9 says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. There is a Holy Spirit. If you have come to Christ, there is a Holy Spirit that is living inside you, that leads you, that guides you, that inspires you, that guards you, that keeps you, that frees you, and that guarantees your inheritance. Let me repeat verse 6. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Calls out Abba Father. As parents, we know what this means. Sylvia knows when Joshua calls out in the middle of the night, Mommy. Alright? You know when your child calls out in the middle of the night. Maybe they're having a not so pleasant dream. And they call out. Something happens on the field and the soccer field and they get hurt and they call out Dad or they call out Mommy. What does that mean? That means they expect for Daddy or Mommy to come immediately. It means that they have direct access to the Father. They have direct access to Mommy. They can call out at any time and Mommy or Daddy is going to be there. There's a special relationship. That's what we have. We can call out Daddy. We have a new father with a new relationship. Verse 7 says, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Whether you are a child already part of a family, or whether you've been adopted into the family, again, a ceremony takes place. And this is a ceremony of celebration. It's a ceremony in which it is pronounced over the child, the boy, that the child is no longer a boy, but a son. Over the girl, that the girl is no longer a girl, but a daughter, and full rights of sonhood, full rights of daughterhood. And that change occurs in our life spiritually when we come to faith in Christ. A spiritual change occurs. We are no longer a slave. We are now a son or a daughter of our Abba Father. Just as a child can call Mommy or Daddy anytime, you can call directly for your Abba Father at any time. We've been studying, looking at Pilgrim's Progress with the high school English class in school. And one of the things that was pointed out as Christian was going on his journey and Christian was learning to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and to counterattack the attacks of the enemy by using the Word of God. But there was at one point where Christian was flat on his back and he was just about to be vanquished. But the Word of God says, even when we're at that point, we can call out, Lord! We can cry out to Him. It's in the Word of God. Yes. Deliver me. Deliver me. Deliver me from all my fears. Amen. So even when we are flat on our back, even when we can't even lift up the sword anymore, we can cry out and have direct access to the Father. Amen. Amen. We no longer need a guardian. We are no longer enslaved. See, a slave doesn't have that access. A slave doesn't have that access. We are no longer a slave. What is the difference between a slave and a son or a daughter? Let's contrast a slave with a son or a daughter. A slave, of course, has a slave-master relationship. There is no direct access to the person that is controlling your life, controls every aspect of your life. That person, there is no direct access to. With a son or a daughter, with that father-son relationship, we can come to the Father at any time. We have direct access. That is a key difference. A slave requires a guardian, someone to guard the slave. By the very nature of what a slave, the definition of a slave, someone is guarding the slave. A slave requires a guardian, requires, in effect, a babysitter. As a son, we have no need for a babysitter watching over us. We have the loving Holy Spirit to guide us by grace. A slave is in bondage. A slave is confined. A slave can only stay at a certain place, in a certain area, on a certain plantation, perhaps. A daughter has freedom. Has freedom. Recently in the high school English class, we read Martin Luther's The Freedom of a Christian. The freedom of a Christian. Now, maybe we experience that. Maybe we feel that in that day and age, coming out of the Catholic Church, the Roman Church, the established church, it was a big deal. Martin Luther brought out the truth of the freedom of a Christian. You need to know as a Christian that you are free. You are free. You have the freedom of a Christian. You're free to serve Him. And it doesn't mean, now, you know, the Apostle Paul talked about this. I have my freedom. But should I use my freedom to indulge a sinful nature? No. All right, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. We need to recognize that when we're using our freedom, that you might have the freedom to turn on the radio and listen to some country music song and so forth. All right, but maybe someone that is not as more mature in their faith, they might think, there's something wrong with that country song. All right, and so we can't be I'm not saying anything against country music. But we need to use our freedom wisely. But you need to know that you have the freedom of a Christian. We are free to serve Him. And so, a slave. A slave is subject to the world's principles. A son has the full rights of being a son. A slave owes debts to the world. By the very fact of being a slave, sometimes slaves would pay for their own purchase price. All right? But a slave, by the very definition of who they are, they owe debts to the world because they're in bondage. They money has to be paid to free themselves. Very, very degrading situation. A daughter is free to live the way that she was created, not loaded down by debts, but free. A son is accountable to one person, and that one person is the Abba Father, whose all his designs, even all his discipline, even his correcting of us, are motivated by love. Amen. You are accountable to one person, and this relates to our freedom. You are accountable to one person, and that is Abba Father God, whose all his designs toward us, even when he allows us to go through trials and tribulations that help to grow our faith, it's all motivated by pure, unadulterated, unconditional love. That's the one person as a son or a daughter that we are accountable to. Isn't that a great thing? You can serve a person like that. Amen. You can follow a person like that. You can obey a person like that. You can listen to and surrender to someone like that and follow someone like that. A slave is held back by the world opposed to him. A son is free to walk into his destiny. A slave has no inheritance. And a slave, everything he does, he recognizes that he is just working for someone else. He's not even making money. He's not even paying the rent. He is just working for somebody else. There's no future in it. But a son has a great inheritance. A son recognizes that he's doing meaningful work. A son recognizes that he has a deposit. He has the goods. He has the Holy Spirit. He has like a piece of paper, a deed of trust, that he has something substantial, something of substance, the Holy Spirit guaranteeing his inheritance. And of course, that is the Holy Spirit. You need to know that you are no longer a slave. You need to know that you are a son and daughter of the Father. I'd like us all to stand. Our relationship with our fathers is a universal issue of life. We all have a need. We all have a need for approval. We all have a need for unconditional love. And however well our earthly fathers have provided that to us, you need to recognize that that need for approval, that need for unconditional love, ultimately can be found in only one place. And that is with our Abba Father God. Because we're all imperfect. You know, I think of my son Caleb here. I love Caleb with all my heart. I love him with all my heart. But there are some times that I kind of get on his case. And I know I haven't perfectly shown him unconditional love. I know that I haven't perfectly affirmed him. But I love him. None of us are perfect in that. But through our Abba Father God, whatever wasn't given to us, we can allow God to work in us and heal us and help us to grow so that we can communicate, we can grow in that perfect love. We're not going to be perfect in that perfect love, but we can grow in sharing that perfect love with others. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Amen. Now, if we are children, that means we're also heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. It was shared today about taking up the cross daily. That he who would follow God must deny himself and take up his cross daily. That if we indeed share in his sufferings, that we may also share in his glory. I'd like us all to close our eyes and just reflect before the Lord. I'm going to give you an opportunity to make sure that you have this relationship with the Father. Do you have this relationship with the Father? Do you have that witness of the Holy Spirit that testifies with your spirit? Do you have the Spirit of life abiding in you? How do we come to Christ? The Bible says that we come to Christ through repentance and faith. We repent from our way, even trying to live up to the law in our way and our efforts. We repent from all that. And we come to faith in Christ. We respond by faith. As you come to Christ, don't pursue a feeling. It's by faith. Just take him at his word. Just trust him. That song, "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. Give you the opportunity to have this relationship with Abba Father God. If you don't, but perhaps you have come to the Lord. Perhaps you are in Christ. But you've reverted, as the Apostle Paul says, to those foolish Galatians. You reverted back to the old way. The old guardian of the law of sin and death. And the Lord wants to remind you deep in your being of the new way of the Holy Spirit of life. The new way to be led by the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Thank you, Lord. If you have never received the Lord as your personal Savior, just repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I want to have this relationship with you. I want to have the witness of the Holy Spirit testifying with my spirit. I turn from my way and I receive Christ by grace through faith. I take you at your word and I confess Jesus is Lord. Thank you for making me your child. Thank you for leading me. Thank you, Lord God, that I'm a full son or daughter with full rights, with a great inheritance. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't pursue a feeling. Just take him at his word. He has made you his child. You are the son or daughter of the King with full rights. And I want to just pray for you right now. Father, I just lift up everyone here in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, as was alluded to earlier in this service, Lord God, I pray for healing in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for healing in every heart. Perhaps some people here never knew their father. Perhaps some here had fathers or mothers that spoke words of condemnation over them. Words of abuse. Words that hurt the soul, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you would heal those hurts. Lord God, that by your Spirit, Lord God, that you would wash them, Lord God. That your streams of living water would go to every area in each heart, Lord God. Every area to the depth of each heart, to the depth of each soul, Lord God. And that you would wash it out, Lord God. And Father, help, Lord God, I just, right now, Lord, just open up your heart. Just open up your arms to the Lord. And receive the love of the Father. Receive the love of the Father. Receive the affirmation of the Father. Look up into his eyes. Receive the approval of the Father. Receive the encouragement of the Father. Receive it to the depth of your being. Say, I receive it. I receive it. God the Father can give to you what your earthly father did not give you. Receive it. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that you'd help us now as we live our lives with our children, with our spouses, with our co-workers, with others around us, Lord God, to operate out of love and not out of fear. Lord God, to communicate this perfect love, this Abba Father love to those in our lives, Lord God. Help us to grow in this perfect love, Lord God. The perfect love that casts out fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.